Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Scott, I'm doing marvelously well. We have a perfect winter day. The fog is lifted, the sky is blue, and where I live, it's all covered in snow, brilliant, crisp, and glistening in the sunlight.
Wow. Where I am, it's cloudy, and it looks like it's raining.
Okay.
But the grass is green.
All right, time for both of us to head for Ecuador.
That's right. Or Costa Rica.
Okay. I think Ecuador is better. You know why?
Why?
It's right on the equator, so the weather doesn't change much. You have two seasons, just either...
Summer and summer?
Yeah, sort of a wet summer and dry summer. Actually, the good part is that it's at 10,000 feet altitude, and so up there, even though it's extremely hot, you know, in the altitude, you actually get about what you would get as an eternal spring in the sort of normal American context.
Wow, that's nice.
So, you know, you get bananas and avocados and roses and just about anything you want growing year-round, all the time, because you just don't have the cold days that would kill off the fragile plants. But you don't have these very hot days that would kill off the very fragile plants.
Huh. And you just go down the mountain and you're on a beach.
Well, that's a go down a long hill. That's a major endeavor. There you don't travel very easily. No, it probably would be like a 1.5 days trip because the roads are pretty lousy.
I would just have to get a plane.
Yes, yes. How do we pull off this lots of wealth without having to work for it?
Well, I think the way to do it is to pull the wealth away from those aspects of society that are charging an arm and a leg with very poor results.
Yeah, you know, I think there is time for a complete revolution in the society. Actually, I have a sense that this latest election in the United States was sort of a sign of things to come. At least what I was noticing, that a lot of people were putting a lot of hope on the change.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like they were not so much voting for a person like Obama or for a party like the Democrats, but for just change.
Yeah.
Just give me something different, please.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And openness and honesty and all those good things.
Right.
And conversation, like just being able to sit down with somebody that you know disagrees with you and not leave ordering the tanks to come in.
Oh, yeah.
But we're digressing. We talked about a group of people that are very wealthy in our society, but cause untold damage. And since we're trying to figure out how to retire in Ecuador and live a good life, I think maybe what we should do is tell the people about this danger to their life, because if they're not careful, they're going to be doing things that could seriously impact their health.
Yes. Well, there's a whole section on Life Enthusiast Co-op's website in the health education section. We titled it Medical Establishment. And in that section, I tried to collect the writings of clear thinkers, people who really see things from the bigger perspective, to eliminate the futility of the entire medical system and the insurance system and the entire society, really, the whole establishment as we have it, because it's really not working.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we talk about like doctors and everything, I mean, obviously, if you break an arm, it's great to go see a doctor and have him set it, and hopefully, he sets it right, and you're fine, right? Sometimes they don't, but that's more the human error that sometimes people do. But when you look at all the, it's really like a fight between natural health and nature and man-made
Solutions.
And
well, here's what I would like to bring up, Scott. Surgeons have learned in battlefields most of the techniques that the operating room and emergency room to doctors and technicians have learned were learned in either battlefield, you know, like loads and loads of serious injuries coming in very fast.
Yeah.
Or looking after traffic accidents and, you know, disasters. And they've done a phenomenal job. They are really good, and I'm just so glad and so impressed because, I mean, you know, just in my own family, I mean, my wife wouldn't have survived her first pregnancy. It was an ectopic pregnancy, and if it weren't for the surgical intervention, she would have died right there.
Mm.
And yet she lived to have two wonderful daughters and, you know, raised them with me and all that.
Right. And my son, he broke his arm very badly, and he broke his foot. And without them putting that back together, he would have an arm at a weird angle, and he wouldn't be able to run, probably.
Probably not. So for that, I'm completely grateful and appreciative and all that. But here's where it falls apart. The medicine, or the medical establishment, as we know it now, is trying to apply emergency room technologies to chronic disease.
Everyday life.
To diseases of aging, to diseases that aren't a result of an accident. They are a result of a lifestyle. See, like, you don't end up with diabetes as an accident. It's not like that a bullet arrives and rips a hole in your belly and there's
your diabetes.
Right. It doesn't happen like that. It comes as a result of changes that are long-term or slow. I mean, when it finally breaks through and the illness breaks out, of course, that looks like an accident. But it isn't. It took years to develop.
Yeah. Well, if you look at something like a heart attack or stroke, you know, that plaque didn't build up overnight.
Right. I mean, that crisis event, now that we've got the heart attack, again, I'm really grateful for the emergency room because they're going to save me. They're going to pump me full of crazy chemicals and electro-something interventions and keep me alive.
Right.
But boy, do I ever wish that they taught me how not to get to that place from the beginning.
Right, right. Well, as we were talking about this, it reminded me that I'd read once that... Here's my question. Who was the lowest paid person on Christopher Columbus's boat when he discovered America?
I couldn't begin to tell you. The doctor?
The doctor.
Well, he certainly deserved all the pay he got.
Yeah, because they had scurvy and everything else. But,
right.
And it's funny because when you look at that, you know, what was the cure for scurvy? It was bringing oranges and lemons on board.
Right, eating fruit, vitamin C.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was no drug there, you know, it was totally, and I think that's just a great example of, you know, here's these people, they're spending months and months at sea, and their teeth are falling out, and they're dying, and they're weak, and everything else, and if you give them just, you know, an orange, they get better.
Yes.
So there's the lifestyle, and there's the, you know, what happens when you fix the lifestyle.
Right, and yet it was taking them centuries to actually come to that realization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they called the British sailors limeys, and that was not a admiration term. It was
because they ate limes.
Yeah, this is what kept them in good shape.
And everyone was probably ridiculing them and everything else,
right.
But they at least, that's why they won the battles at sea.
Yes. So when you call me a granola...
We're quite happy.
Well, actually, I wouldn't eat granola because mostly that stuff is made from grains that are not worth eating anyway. But it, in general, you know, granola is a vegetarian label, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about death by medicine.
Right. Well, I guess I'll open up with this statement. Doctors are more dangerous than guns.
You're kidding.
No, it's more, you have a much greater, I think it's 10 times, chance of dying by doctor than by gun.
Wow.
In fact, there are 700,000 deaths a year in America that are caused by the medical trade. And most of these deaths are not accidents or malice. Those are just, you know, application of drugs as they have it in the manual. Correct application or just unexpected interaction of multiple toxic chemicals that they give you or just a natural consequence.
Let's just talk about the most famous drug death in the last 6 months. The fellow that played the Joker in the Batman movie,
right.
Heath Ledger, died.
Yes.
And he... Actually, it was interesting because originally my impression was that he committed suicide, right?
That's what it would look like, yeah.
And I was reading an article recently, it's not like five months later, 4 months later, whatever it is, and they said basically, well, he had these prescription drugs for some problem that he had, some pain that he was in,
yep.
Well,
he was depressed. He was somehow... He was prescribed a antidepressant.
Yeah, but the impression that I got reading this article was there was no doubt that it was an accidental death. It wasn't that he had tried to kill himself or anything else. And of course, you know, we may never know that answer accurately because we can't ask him, like, did you do it on purpose or not, right?
Yeah.
But
I don't think he overdosed. I think it was just an interaction of too many prescription drugs all at once.
Yeah. And that was the impression that this article gave me. Now,
yep.
It wasn't a doctor or a, you know, I'm not sure it was an expert opinion, but it's interesting because my original impression, just as someone who was not really paying that much attention to it, right? It's like, oh, he died, and what happened? Well, he overdosed on drugs. Well, that sort of sounded like, you know, potential suicide.
Yep.
And now it's like, no, he didn't take too much. He just took too many in the wrong order or something, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So what a sad situation that is.
Right, what a talented man. I mean, I've watched the movies that he was in, and it was just he was phenomenal.
So here's my question: if he'd had too much vitamin C, there no doubt would have been calls for this huge inquiry onto the safety of vitamin C and how to protect everybody else from it, and everything. But
yeah.
I don't recall seeing anybody getting up in arms and saying, we've got to,
we've got to ban the drugs that he was on, right?
Yeah, like that's obviously we need to have an overhaul.
Well, you know why that is, right?
No idea. I'm just totally in shock that
the corporations that manufacture these products are very big and very powerful. These same corporations pretty much own the TV channels, all of them. Because currently, I don't know if you've noticed, but the biggest advertisers on television are drug companies.
I don't watch enough TV to be able to.
Oh, what a sad story that is. Let me tell you, they're the soap and detergent manufacturers.
Yeah.
Because everybody, soap and detergent.
Yeah, hair shampoo people.
Yeah, but the other biggest, absolutely biggest, is all the drugs. You need to have a drug.
Oh, I saw a commercial, and it was this couple walking into, some big box TV show, or TV sales place, right, and store, and every big, huge screen TV had this news thing running about this couple who had been missing for 3 days. And they sort of look at each other and have this sort of knowing look, right? And then
they probably took Cialis.
That's right. That's what it was, a commercial for Cialis. So, yeah,
right.
There you go. Well, that's the only commercial that stands out in my mind, and it's a drug commercial, so I see your point.
Right. Yeah, and you can see the ads for the big blue pill with the guy walking around with this phenomenal smile on his face. And But there are these drugs that are advertised that give you the... protection from feeling too sad or feeling too shy or not feeling cheerful like you should.
Hmm.
These are invented illnesses that mess around with your brain. Actually, this is my favorite topic, what's known as the psychology.
Yeah.
You know? When you go to a psychiatrist, you're not treated by examining your mind. You're treated with chemicals. They just throw drugs at you.
Yes.
And you know that the SSRI, the serotonin reuptake inhibitors type of drugs like Prozac and that family have caused an untold, uncounted, huge quantity of deaths, especially in young people. These are deaths by suicide. Most of them hang themselves or go quietly, but some of them don't go so quietly. Like the famous one was the Columbine shooting, where one of the two perpetrators was on one of these. I think he was on Zoloft specifically. I don't remember exactly, but that's one of those drugs. And several of the other serious, you know, mega shootings in the society where all of a sudden the person just goes completely crazy are caused by people who are on these type of drugs. It causes a shift in the brain that just plugs all, what's the word, rationality out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the famous one was a woman whose name is Yates. She was recently in court for having drowned her 5 kids in the bathtub. You know, how does a mother drown 5 kids?
Yeah.
Well, a mother who's on SSRIs doesn't it.
Yeah.
And the drug company was not in the court, you know. They were not suing the drug company. They were suing the woman. Or trying.
Yeah, because we just have a hard time believing that you could take something and it would change your behavior so drastically.
And yet we're willing to have a couple of beer and know that it's going to change our behavior pretty much, right?
That's right. Huh.
Or I'll give you a different example. How about if you have a coffee and a donut? Is that going to change your behavior?
Yeah, absolutely.
I tell you, it's going to make you way more aggressive than you would be any other way.
I want to talk for a second, Martin, about the scope of this, and there's a couple statistics, because it's always one thing to know what we talk about and everything else, but like, what are the hard facts that are kind of hard to argue with, right? And one of the articles that we have on the Life Enthusiast Co-op site states that, and it's all documented, so if you actually go, you don't have to believe me, you can go and you actually look at where the reference is. The number of unnecessary medical and surgical procedures performed annually is 7.5 million. The number of people exposed to unnecessary hospitalization annually is 8.9 million. The total number of deaths shown in the following tables is all over 750,000. And these are from adverse drug reactions, medical error, bed sores, infection, malnutrition, outpatients, unnecessary procedures, and surgery related. So,
look at the table. The two biggest is outpatients and bed sores.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, yes, 780,000 people who have died because of their interaction with the medical system. So you mentioned vitamin C. You know, the adverse reaction to vitamin C is diarrhea.
Okay.
You know, the adverse reaction to Tylenol is cirrhosis of your liver.
Huh. I'd rather have diarrhea for a few days.
Yeah. And yet, Tylenol is just a common thing that you can buy over the counter and take by the handfuls if you want to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that if you take these type of drugs that you're causing the cirrhosis of your liver and that is likely to kill you someday, you know, a few years later?
Nope.
All right.
Never heard about it. I know, however, that they're really trying to make sure I don't get vitamin C without a prescription.
Right. Okay, so here's my head's at as far as this is concerned. I really think that the whole society needs to change the perspective at which we're looking at things. You know, the way the medical world is treating an illness, it treats it from the symptom perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you show up and you say, I have a pain over here. let's just say that you have let's just say that you have high blood pressure, and you show up at your doctor's, and he says, "Well, okay, let's treat that high blood pressure," and he will prescribe to you one of four things, either beta blockers or diuretics or some other drugs that he has in his compendium of things that will work. Yet, he hasn't asked you what the cause was, or he has not investigated the cause. What if the cause was your intolerance to gluten? What if that thing alone was simply caused by your dietary problems, and all you needed to do is just change what you're eating?
Well, it wouldn't be as expensive, that's for sure.
Right, so he wouldn't have sold any drugs. He would have just simply sold you his service, which he should be. You know, a doctor should be an impartial consultant that's working on your behalf.
Yeah.
But that's not what... We used to have that back in 1890s, 1920s, when doctors were still an independent consultant. But these days, a doctor is working for the cartel, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many salesmen pushing drugs. There is a salesman for every nine doctors out there in the drug industry. So, you know, as a doctor, wouldn't you enjoy going on a cruise that's paid for by a drug company?
Absolutely.
You know, why not take a week off somewhere in the Caribbean on a boat? If the only price is that you're going to have to spend a few hours, maybe 2 or 3 hours a day, in a training session in the theater instead of watching some entertainment, that would be a perfectly acceptable price, right? Like mm-hmm. you're getting educated mm-hmm. and you're getting a holiday all at the same time.
Yeah, and just a little bit of brainwashing.
Well, it's education, I'm sure. The problem is that, of course, the company that's paying for the education is only promoting their own interests, which I wouldn't fault them for. I mean, why else would they do it? The problem is that everything else is excluded. The doctor is no longer an independent consultant. He's no longer working for you. He is working for the drug companies. He is no longer... an agent. He's now a salesman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's the medical establishment. The insurance establishment's even worse.
Because, right, and that's actually, it surprised me to hear you say that because
you would expect me to say, oh yeah, we all should have medical insurance, right?
Yeah.
Not so. I think the insurance is our worst enemy.
Okay, so why is that?
Well, because procedures get done because they're covered, not because they're necessary. You know, like you go to a doctor and you ask, well, am I covered for that? And he'd say, no, you're not covered for that. So he says, well, what else am I covered for? You know, when I go to...
It sounds like I want to go to the hospital. What disease do I need to have in order to go?
It's almost like that. But, you know, think of it this way. When I went to my doctor, you know, my insurance covered the procedures. And,
yeah.
You know, this is now 25 years ago. You know, I was really sick. I had, because of the mercury poisoning I had, my body started falling apart, you know.
Right.
So the arches in my feet were no longer holding because the tendons and the ligaments were weakened by the poisoning, right?
Yeah.
So my feet were getting flat, and it hurt like hell. So my first place is to go to my general practitioner, and he says, I'll send you to an orthopedic surgeon. I went to the orthopedic surgeon, and he said, well, I've got the corticosteroid. I'll inject you with that, and that's going to stop the pain.
Hmm.
Well, it did for 6 weeks. And that's it. That's the relief I got, but I didn't get any fix.
Right.
So then I went to the chiropractor, and he adjusted it for me, and, you know, he put the structure back together. And I had to pay him because I wasn't covered for it. But that didn't really fix anything. that simply put it back together, but because the ligaments were weak, it would fall apart. So I have to go back there once a week to get straightened. So I was on maintenance. I was at least not falling apart further. So then I had to go to the naturopath. So that wasn't covered. I had to pay out of pocket, and I had to pay for all the supplements. But finally, I was getting some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if I were to continue to go to the general medical, I would be on painkillers, and I would be simply continuing to get worse. I had to take money out of my pocket and pay to the alternative healthcare people to get the...
There's an old saying that says you get what you pay for.
Yeah. Well, that's somehow wrong. You know, that's not necessarily correct.
But you would have got what you paid for if you just kept going to the doctor.
Oh, you mean nothing?
Yeah. Right? I mean, you go to the doctor, it's free, quote unquote, for as far as you're concerned,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's happy because he gets to bill the government or the insurance company or whoever every time you come in.
Yeah.
But you can go in as many times as you want. It makes no difference to your bank account, right?
Yep. No.
And what are you getting? You're getting useless information that's basically making you worse.
Yeah. And guess what? In the scope of the whole society, this is now costing trillions of dollars. Mm-hmm. America has the most expensive healthcare system on the planet. And yet getting like a 30th level of service somewhere near what Cuba's getting. Cuba is charging about a tenth of that. Here's even more to that same topic. How did I even get to that trouble? I went to a dentist. I was covered. I had insurance. And the dentist said, well, I think we could put 12 fillings in. You know, I needed one. And if it was coming out of my pocket, I would say, yes, let's stop there. We'll wait if I need the others. But I had insurance. I said, oh, okay.
And we don't think about it.
Yeah, so anyway, I ended up with mercury poisoning as a result of that. So I would say that insurance breeds stupid behavior. Think of it this way.
There you go.
Yeah, think of
it this
way. Now
I understand how it works.
Yeah. Think of it about car insurance. Why do we have car insurance?
Well, so that if somebody runs into us or we run into somebody, we don't go bankrupt.
Okay. And the thing is this. Who causes most of the accidents? A specific group of careless drivers, right?
Probably, yeah.
Right? Like, I would say that probably 85% of the drivers never had an accident. I don't know the numbers, really, but I think it's a fairly high number. You know, like, an accident that they caused, not that they were in an accident, but that they've caused an accident.
Yeah. Well, I've been in one in 30-odd years. I've been in one that I would call a major accident.
Yeah.
And that was...
Have you caused it yourself?
No, it was... I was driving along, and another person was driving beside me. It was actually... I was in the right-hand lane. He was in the left-hand lane. He was about half a car length ahead of me, and someone turned and turned in front of him coming the other way,
yeah.
Turned to cut across us both, hit him. He spun and hit me. There was no way I could get out of the way because this car is spinning in front of me, right?
Right.
And he's only a half a car length away. We're going, 20 or 30 miles an hour. And fortunately, nobody was injured on any side of it, but...
Well, I have caused accidents, two of them, both of them accidents of distraction, both of them at slow speed. You know, one of them I backed into a person in a parking lot, and the other one I was eating a sandwich while driving in a rush hour traffic downtown. And, I look up and, I can't stop anymore. And I parked my car inside of the other guy's trunk. So I did not deserve to be covered for that. I deserved to be, punished with full costs. Anyway, where I want to get to is this. If we did not have insurance, would I be a more careful driver?
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And the car insurance as such exists so that people who are bad drivers, who have accidents, can continue to drive.
Yeah.
Anyway, so people who are doing stupid things as far as their health goes can continue to do those things thinking that, oh, well, if I have a medical problem, it's going to be covered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry.
Yeah.
So then you end up worrying, you know, 20 or 30 years later when you're really sick and you realize that, yeah, I don't have to worry because it's covered, but now I've got a miserable life.
Well, the procedures are covered, which is a false benefit because these procedures are not really doing anything for you other than just dealing with the symptoms instead of with the causes.
Right.
You know, the cause was you poisoned yourself with stupid food or toxic lifestyle or, you know, vaccination which puts mercury into our children or that destabilizes their immune systems. You know, that huge experiments of this vaccination with the rates of autism and ADHD rising so incredibly high. I mean, how is it possible that we used to have 1 in 10,000 autistics and now we have 1 in 100?
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, so I think we've done a pretty good job of painting a picture of the problem.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I know what you'll say in terms of this, but I'd like us to, because we're running into about a half an hour, which is usually a kind of our limit, and I don't want to leave everybody with this kind of like, oh, dear, you know. So what would you say would be the best first steps that people could take to, because obviously, it's a huge problem when you look at the billions of dollars that are lost and the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of lives that have been lost, and to say nothing about the poor quality of life that people have.
Yep.
Where should someone start?
Well, number one, realize that you need to take responsibility for your own behavior. Because whatever you do is going to have a consequence for you later in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So the sooner you get that, the better. I wish we were teaching this in high schools.
Right.
But it's not happening. Anyway, when you finally do get it, even if you are 50 and you finally just woke up to the fact that, oh, shoot, I'm in trouble, you, the person in trouble, are responsible for getting yourself out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to work on long-term solutions that deal with the causes. And there are only two causes of chronic illness. One is malnutrition, and the other one is toxicity.
Okay.
So detox and nourish. There are many solutions to detoxification and many solutions to the nourishment, and that you need to nourish that which you're missing. So that could be complicated, but we can help.
Right.
Simple, right?
Yeah. And don't put your head in the sand and say, well, there's no problem, or if there is a problem, these guys will fix me.
Yeah. No, the establishment medicine will not help you.
Yeah.
They don't understand the concept of systemic health. They only treat symptoms. They look at things in isolation. You know, if you come up to a dermatologist with a rash on your forehead, he's going to give you a cream to treat the rash on your forehead. Never mind that it's caused by some worms that you have contracted in the tropical holidays.
Right.
Or that your liver is giving out on you or whatever the cause may be.
Yeah, you're eating too much chocolate.
All right, maybe that.
Yeah. I have, you know, teenage sons and they come home for their friends and some of their friends are just like one big pimple on their face, right? And
I'm thinking, just covered in red, right?
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, man, you know, you got to stop eating greasy hamburgers and fries and milkshakes.
Yeah, it's the fried food. It's the sugar. It's the high fructose corn syrup. It's all of those wrong things. The empty calories, you know, low nutrient density foods and high toxin density foods. And behaviors. Yeah. It's behaviors, too, you know. Living in traffic, you know, inhaling all that stuff and whatever.
Yeah.
So the hope is that everything can be reversed given enough time, and that causes are known. Functional medicine is alive and well. You know, the research is known. We are not just blaring out some... This is not some kind of an old folks' tales. This is research backed up by modern medicine. It's just that drug companies that own the TV advertising channels are not interested in telling you about it because it doesn't profit them.
Right. And that's the sad news.
So come to us. Come visit Life Enthusiasts, life-enthusiast.com, and start reading.
Yeah, educate yourself.
Right on.
So you've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. And Martin, if somebody wanted to talk to you some more about this very important topic, besides going and reading more at the life-enthusiast.com site, what could they do?
Well, they can listen to more of our podcasts, lifeenthusiast.podomatic.com, or just on life-enthusiast.com. Find the link. It's on the main navigation, podcasts. There's another link there to blogs. And there's also right there in that main banner a phone number, 1-866-543-3388. Call, make an appointment. The health coach, that's me, can spend the time with you and help you figure it out. The first 15 minutes is free.
There you go. Awesome. Thanks, Martin, and thank you, everybody, for joining us. And make sure you head over to www.life-enthusiast.com and start learning about how you can take control of your life.
This is Martin from Life Enthusiast, restoring vitality.